Okay, well, I think it'd be really helpful to go around the room to have everybody introduce. I'm your Senator Dan Sullivan. That's Chad Padgett, my state director. And Sherry Klein, I think you guys know Sherry, who works with me out of Ketchikan. And we just wanted to do kind of a round table. I know we're missing some of the leadership of the community who are in Juneau, but I'll just start real quick, and then we'll love to go around the table, and then any questions, comments, suggestions, criticisms, ideas, whatever you guys want to talk about. But we're back in Wrangell. It's been a while for me. We had a trip canceled right, looking at Sherry, right before COVID or right during COVID or last year on weather stuff. But it's great to be back, and these are kind of just constituent meetings that we do in terms of meeting with the leadership. Already had a great tour today on infrastructure issues with Mason and the team. Is Amber here?
Right.
Oh, there she is. Had a great meeting with our tribal members. Esther's here? Okay. Really good meeting. And what we want to do is I'll just give a quick little update on a couple issues that we're focused on. And then really importantly, and it kind of came from the meeting we were just in, and then some of the folks that I just bumped into walking into the building here, remind everybody we're here to work for you, right? We're like, that's our job, that's my job, whether it's big infrastructure issues or federal permitting issues, or a lot of it, you know, you think the U.S. government is screwing you over, right? Just walked in and one of our great veterans is not getting a pretty simple request from the U.S. Army that he just showed me, so we're going to work on that, right? I'll get involved in that personally. We just like to remind people that sometimes they think, oh, the only time I can ask Senator or his office is like when they're here. Well, that's not correct. You can ask us anytime. Right? You have phone, email. So my team and I will leave all our contact information. We want to hear from you. I will just give you a very quick update because I really want to leave this to all of you for questions and comments and thoughts and suggestions. But I gave my speech to the legislature just 2 weeks ago. That's kind of the big address that I do. Senator Murkowski does. Congresswoman Peltola did one last week. I think Lisa's was today. And the idea there is to lay out priorities, get feedback from the state leaders who are our elected leaders. My message 2 weeks ago, I won't go through the whole speech, it was a little long, but three areas of priority. One is our economy, Alaska's economy. And there are a lot of things that are happening in that area that have a lot of potential. I mentioned some very big resource development projects that are, even though they're up on the North Slope, these matter to Southeast, trust me, very big. You may have heard of this Willow project that the Biden administration is gonna rule on here any minute, like in the next 2 weeks. Gigantic project, huge for the future of our state, huge for American energy security. 2,500 jobs, over $17 billion in state, federal, local revenues. I mean, this is huge. But a whole host of other things. The infrastructure bill has had I think it's going to have a very important impact for Alaska, particularly in Southeast. You may have seen some of the funding for the ferry system. I give Senator Murkowski a big shout out on that. She worked really hard on that component of the infrastructure bill. But the telecoms build out, the roads, ports, bridges build out. I always say we're a resource-rich, infrastructure-poor state. Some people didn't like that bill. It wasn't a perfect bill, but We need infrastructure in Alaska. We need it. We have less road miles in Connecticut, and we're 120 times bigger. That's just wrong, in my view. So, a lot on that. There's a huge build-out on telecommunications, with the idea of essentially wiring with broadband or internet connectivity every single community in our state. We wrote that infrastructure bill to have a formula that prioritized states that had the least connectivity. Well, guess which state has the least connectivity of any state in America by far? It's us. So, correspondingly, we're going to do very well in terms of the infrastructure broadband dollars that are coming to Alaska in the next 5 years. Very well, like in the billions. So there's a lot happening there. Our military and Coast Guard buildup continue in Southeast. It's a very significant buildup of the Coast Guard. You may have seen the news, Juneau is going to be, we're not 100% there yet, but we've made huge progress on them getting a icebreaker home ported in Juneau. Finally, right, America is an Arctic nation. We need an icebreaker in the Arctic, that's Alaska. I could talk about that all day if you're interested, but I won't spend all day talking about that. But that's progress. We've been building up the Coast Guard throughout Southeast very significantly, several hundreds of millions of dollars of infrastructure. I got a tour here today. You know, I know there's some big plans, but we're gonna need more ships. Navy vessels is my bigger goal, and I think what you guys are doing here in Wrangell has enormous potential, particularly with the mill site that we were at today that the borough just bought. So that's very exciting. And then, so that is continuing. And then our tourism sector, aviation sector, there's a whole host of areas that if you look at what's coming, private sector and federal dollars, it's literally in the tens, if not 20s, of billions in the next 5 years. That's exciting. The other area I focus on is fisheries. This lawsuit that is threatening to shut down the troll fishery here is an outrage. If you look at the lawsuit, I am planning on actually intervening myself. Oh, thanks, Chip. With hopefully the Senator Murkowski and Congresswoman Peltola joining me in an amicus brief on that to fight that lawsuit. I will be talking to the Secretary of Commerce, the head of NOAA, and the head of NIMS in the next week with a lot of different messages on fisheries. But one of the really big ones is you have to fight this lawsuit, right? This lawsuit is ridiculous. Think about what they're trying to do. Shut down this fishery. Estimates are that could impact Southeast by $100 million for orca problems in Puget Sound. They're not asking for the fishery in Puget Sound to be shut down. They're not asking about the pollution in Puget Sound. They're looking at shutting down our fishery here. Idiotic. And an abuse of the Endangered Species Act. So I raised that very strongly in my led speech that we all need to work together. I saw that the assembly yesterday, I think, or a couple days ago, passed a resolution with regard to supporting that, which I think is really important for people to see that, people to see Alaskans coming together on that. So that was part one. Part two of my address is, the continuing social challenges that we have in our state. As I said, you know, we have the strongest economy, the best job growth in the world, and if we still have these incredibly challenging problems of very high rates of sexual assault and domestic violence, of addiction and overdose, and of mental health challenges, especially for young Americans, young Alaskans. If you've seen the numbers, teenage girl suicide rates in America are through the roof, horrendous. So there's a lot that I'm working on in that area, but I really was also looking at ideas for people because, you know, these are big issues. They're complicated. You don't always have the knowledge or wisdom on it. So I just threw that out, not threw it out, talked a lot about that. And then the final issue, which kind of comes back to the first one, we have very significant national security challenges going on in the world right now. Very significant. Some of you know I focus a lot on that too. I'm on the Armed Services Committee. I'm on the Veterans Affairs Committee. You know, our state has more veterans per capita than any state in the country. Senator Murkowski, Congressman Peltola, and I are hosting the VA Secretary Friday in Anchorage and Fairbanks. So I already have some messages from our Alaska Native vets to take to him, and I will. But I'm on the Armed Services Committee, and I continue to serve in the Marine Corps as a colonel based out at the Indo-PACOM command in Hawaii. That's tough duty, I know. But the challenges are very real, whether it's Putin and his very aggressive, horrendous invasion of Ukraine, the Chinese Communist Party led by Xi Jinping, and their aggressive actions toward Taiwan and other places. It's a challenging time. And the point that I made to the legislature is there's probably one state in the entire union that could play a really important role in helping our country get through what I refer to this new era of authoritarian aggression led by Xi Jinping and Putin. And that one state is Alaska. We're strategically located. We have a military force that we're building up. If you look at what our military did just in the last 3 weeks, the Alaska military base, active duty, guard, reserve, just in the last 3 weeks, they tracked and intercepted that Chinese spy balloon. They requested permission to shoot it down. That was denied. They tracked several other smaller objects, intercepted those, shot down two of those, launched a very sophisticated, challenging recovery of those. Wasn't successful, but it was really hard. And at the same time, went and intercepted two Russian bear bomber sorties that came in with fighters, and we went and intercepted those all in 3 weeks. Every one of those is a very complicated, difficult, challenging mission. And the young men and women who live in our state did that flawlessly. It's really something that we should all be proud of and not take for granted. But Alaska, our military, our strategic location, and our resources, right? Our minerals, our fish, our oil and gas, we have such an important role to play. And the frustration that I feel in DC is that, you know, with this administration on a lot of issues, they're not letting us achieve that full potential helping the country, particularly on the resource development issues. We're on the vast majority that we're moving forward on, they've either stopped or reversed or slowed down. So we have requested a meeting, Senator Murkowski and I, over a year ago with President Biden, saying, do you know that your administration has issued 44 executive orders or executive actions exclusively focused on Alaska? 44. Almost all of them we don't want. So stay tuned. We're requesting that very regularly, particularly on this Willow project that they're going to make a decision on the next 2 weeks. And we're hopefully he's going to make the right decision, but we're not sure. So with that, love to go around the room real quick, get an intro from everybody, and then just open it up for a discussion on any and all topics you want to talk about. I didn't cover all the topics we talked about in today's meetings, but if you want to go over some of those, again, we can do that. Anything, just really open kind of town hall. So Mason, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, thanks, Senator. We really appreciate you being here. Mason Blarma, Finance Director. We had an awesome tour with me, Amber, and Senator Sullivan and the staff. And we got the Millcroft property all ready for the next naval base in Alaska. We're set to go.
We're putting an aircraft carrier on it. But don't tell anyone.
So excited about the potential. I think Senator Sullivan sees it here in Wrangell. And excited to work with him and his staff on some of our infrastructure.
I'm Kim Lane, I'm the borough clerk. Thank you very much for coming, you and your staff. And thank you, Mason and Amber, for taking them around. We did pass that resolution that you were referring to on Friday.
Great.
And so that was really exciting. We had a quick turnaround on that.
Very important.
Yep, and I'm really excited to for all the things that are on your list, to see what happens, you know, what it can bring for Wrangell.
Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Kate Thomas, Parks and Recreation, soon to be Economic Development. Pleased to hear that the mental health and youth services are a priority of your top three.
Yeah. Saw some things in Ketchikan that were very...
I was just in Ketchikan. There's a lot going on there on the services and some of what they're doing. And yeah, if you have ideas on that, let me know. I have some kind of radical ideas of people. When you're talking about banning Facebook from American kids until they're 16, some people don't like that, some people think it's brilliant, but there's a lot that I think social media impacts our youth in a negative way when they're getting it way too young, and studies are starting to come out showing that very strongly. So that's one of many things we're looking at, but if you guys have ideas on it, we want to hear them.
We'll certainly share them. Thank you.
Good.
Amber Alhadad, hi, Capital Facilities Director. Thank you so much for taking the time to look at our infrastructure critical needs today. And I feel like with you and Sherry and Chad, we have a lot of good resources to help us navigate a lot of the funding opportunities that are out there. Yeah. So thank you for all of your feedback today. And I think I expect that you have a lot more to offer us. So thank you very much for that.
Absolutely. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Hello, my name's Tori Hauser. I'm the acting district ranger for the Wrangell Ranger District. And thank you very much for inviting me and letting me be here to listen. And on my side hustle, I'm a troller family.
Oh, are you? Okay, well.
We're very concerned.
We got to fight this together. It's outrageous. And just should not, we shouldn't have families being stressed out about this right now, even though it's very legitimate to be stressed out, and so we're gonna fight this hard. And like I said, I'm gonna send a message to the top people in the federal government. They gotta fight it. They can't, like, one thing I worry about, there's been instances where some of these environmental groups sue federal agencies and they're kind of aligned, and then they go into a back room and they kind of cut a deal and they don't let anyone see it. It's called sue and settle. And we do not want sue and settle on this. We want them to fight it hard in court. So, yeah, I hope you'll be fishing soon without any kind of blockage.
I'm Sage Smiley. I'm the news director for our radio
station.
Wow,
our media's here. Now I'm getting nervous. Okay, so, yeah, good to see you. We're so glad the media's here. I mean that.
Reed Grisker, born and raised here, and been voting ever since Reagan's second term. And my main concerns are our aging earthen dams and our substandard water treatment plant, and also mining on the Stikine River.
Yeah.
Canadian mining companies have a horrible record.
Yeah.
Of just trash in places, you know. There was that release into the Fraser River, and our king salmon stocks are really struggling on the Stikine, and all it takes is one slip and that's gone.
Well, we toured the dam and the water treatment facility and everything today, and we have some ideas on that, so that was good. And
hopefully, you know, I'm a very strong pro-resource development senator, but I've also been very outspoken on the transboundary mining issue. Some of you might remember early in my first term, I went with Lieutenant Governor Malott. The two of us together went, kind of tried to show like a unified front for Alaska, a Republican, a Democrat, senior state official, senior federal official. We went to Ottawa to meet with Prime Minister Trudeau and his entire cabinet solely about the transboundary mining issue, saying, hey, look, Alaska's a resource development state, but you gotta clean up your act, and we need more information on what's going on out there. And, you know, at the time, my big push was the Tulsa Chief mine that's, you know, still, in my view, polluting the Taku River. And so we've made some progress. We've made some progress on that. I've actually raised this issue directly with Prime Minister Trudeau twice in different meetings. His responses to me were very, in my view, very weak. But I do think the provincial leaders are starting to get a little bit more focused on it. And in our meeting with the WCA today, we talked about it, and I think having a tribal representation on this is important as well. So we're gonna keep pressing it. State Department has a role. We did get them to do the EPA to do kind of a baseline water assessment in some of the southeast area rivers to see if we could tell there's an impact of what's coming from those mines. So we're very focused. I'm very focused on it. I'm going to continue to focus on it. It's an important issue. Great. Thank you.
Well, first, thank you for coming, Senator. We appreciate it here in Wrangell. My name's Gary Morrison, and I'm on the Ports and Harbors Commission. And my particular interest is to see continued improvement in our harbor facilities here. We have continued issues. We have safety issues, and there are economic issues and important to all of us here. And we have a good list for you of things that we would like to see happen here in Wrangell. It's been a long time since Senator Stevens passed away.
Well, look, we spent most of today focused on ports and harbors, and I sit on the, what's that?
Did you get down to the inner harbor?
Yeah, we did. And, you know, I sit on the Environment and Public Works Committee, and that's kind of a not a very well-known committee in the Senate. It's actually a really good committee because it's ports, bridges, harbors, Corps of Engineer oversight, EPA oversight, you know, the infrastructure bill, that a huge chunk of the infrastructure bill came out of that committee. We write the highway bill every year. We write the what's called the WERDA bill, the Water Resources and Development Act bill. So I share your interest in those issues for Alaska, and we had some really good discussions. But if you have more ideas, my state director is sitting right behind you, so make sure he gets those. Good, great. That's why we're here.
Amber Armstrong, I'm representing the Wrangell Chamber, treasurer. I just want to say thank you for coming, listening to our key leaders of our community, listening to our concerns and our opportunities that we have. So thank you.
All right,
thank you.
Hi, my name's Caroline. I'm a reporter with the Wrangell Sentinel.
More media. Wow.
Yes. I actually did have one question for you.
Sure.
About the trolling issue.
Yeah.
So hypothetically, if we do end up in a situation with a temporary shutdown and things have to go to appeals, is there any possibility of getting money to trolling families? Is that something you'd support, or is that a possibility?
Well, I would support it. It's so normally the process on something like that goes through like the disaster relief. You know, we get fish disaster reliefs. One thing we're trying to do in that regard is the way that process works, the state declares a disaster, right? The governor. Then that goes to the Secretary of Commerce in the U.S. government. She has to kind of agree, and then we fund it. So I'm proud of our record. I would just call the delegation. Whenever the governor has ever sent a disaster declaration up to the Secretary of Commerce, we have never not gotten it done, no matter what. It has to start with the governor. Once it comes to the Fed side, we've always delivered. The problem is the funding mechanism, and we're trying to fix this, just takes too long. So you can have a disaster relief, in a certain part of the state a disaster declaration, and they get the federal money 3 years later, 4 years later, 5 years later. That in and of itself is a disaster, right? So we're trying to fix that timeline. We've had some legislation pass recently that does that, but it's actually a really good question if that would constitute a disaster. I think it would, but the governor would have to declare that and then shoot it up the federal system, but we would be watching that very closely. Hopefully we don't have to get there. Great. Yes, sir.
Good to see you, Senator. Brian Ashton.
Hey, Brian.
I serve on the Economic Development Committee for Wrangell.
Yeah.
And
thanks for coming.
You bet. I see a lot of challenges that Wrangell has and that Southeast Alaska have, but I also see a lot of potential.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to really be in a mode of mining what our potential is,
yeah.
Who our partners need to be to look at developing out more infrastructure. And certainly the Department of Defense has a lot of potential. The Coast Guard has a lot of potential.
Good.
And one of the things that I'm really focused on exploring is really trying to figure out how we can get the Tongass opened up so more Americans can actually come visit it.
Yeah.
And from that angle, I feel like we have the potential to actually see infrastructure develop. I mean, if you went to Yosemite and you didn't have any roads into Yosemite,
right.
What are you going to do?
Right.
And so being able to really explore ways in which we can partner with other federal agencies like DOD, even the State Department and the relationship with Canada, to look at those corridors that we already have developed and surveyed for road access into Alaska. And how do you get, you know, huge projects like that funded is by getting more partners involved that say, hey, we have an interest in seeing that happen. And the big thing here right now is just being able to open up the Tongass so that the Tongass can be enjoyed by America because Congress made it.
Yeah.
Well, if you made it, focus on how we can access it. And that would just have a profound impact on not just tourism, but the infrastructure necessary to really value add our other natural resources that are renewable and stuff.
Yeah.
So we really just need to open up. I'm really in a sponge mode of looking at what we need to do into the future to do things differently and look at what our resources are that are developing.
Well, look, I agree with you and kind of your attitude of looking at there's challenges here, but there's challenges everywhere. And then looking at things with the glass half full mindset. I'll give you an example of what I saw today on our tour. You know, the issue of housing is a challenge. Every community, every single community in Alaska. By the way, it's even bigger than Alaska. It's all over the country. And, you know, Amber and Mason showed me this area where it looks like the borough has started a big housing initiative development. Where was it again?
We were calling it Aldertop Village, but it's the old Institute property.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the fact that you guys are already taking that one on, and it's like a beautiful area to, you know, do development, which you probably need. Everybody needs it. If we're going to get Coast Guard vessels here and stuff, we need housing. Seriously, it's a giant choke point for the whole state. The lack of housing on so many issues, it chokes off opportunity. And you guys are already kind of working it, which I think is, which is great. On the Tongass, you probably saw Senator Murkowski and I put out a statement that was very critical of the latest and greatest ping pong ball and the roadless rule. Frustrating. You know, I like to remind people that and I know it's controversial, I know not everybody agrees with it, but the exemption to the Clinton era roadless rule has been pushed by every single elected senator or governor of Alaska, regardless of party, Democrat or Republican, for 30 plus years. Every one who's been elected statewide office has wanted an exemption to the roadless rule. I was proud to work directly with the previous administration and the previous president several times, talked to him about it, to get that exemption, which we finally got. Had been seeking that for decades. Again, Democrats and Republicans in the Senate and in the governor's mansion. And I think nationally the issue gets, you know, all the media reports, oh, this is the stop, great giant harvests of timber in the Tongass. I mean, as you guys all know, more than 80% of the Tongass is already set aside for wilderness. You can't touch it. So this is just mostly 10-15%, and I think you need an exemption to that for exactly the reasons you were talking about, for tourism, renewable, intertie. I know we have an expert here, but I've dealt with this issue a lot, and I think that that would help us. And then this ping pong thing, you know, one president gets selected, they do it, next one, you know, I just think that's not helpful either. So I was very disappointed that President Biden did that. By the way, you should know, Senator Murkowski, I learned about this in a Washington Post story, right? The Secretary of Agriculture, I'm not a big fan of his, promised he'd give us a heads up. We learned about it in the Washington Post. No one called us, no one gave us a heads up. Not the way to run the process. So I agree with you, 100%. And maybe we could get back to that at some point, because you need to have some access, you do it responsibly, for people to be able to utilize that forest.
The other thing I'd like to just emphasize is that strategically, Alaska really needs to focus on our education.
Education.
And find ways to where we can actually redefine how we educate in our communities and have it basically come up through the communities as far as how we put that together. Because there's a lot of opportunity, but for Alaskans to really take hold of our future and start planning our future, you know, a strong component of education is going to be at the foundation of that.
I agree with
that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir. Tom Waiter, Public Works Director for the city.
Oh, hey, Tom. Nice to see you. Walking.
Yeah, past the cannery. Yep, going for my lunchtime walk. I'm looking forward to getting a rundown, I guess, from Mason and Amber and folks just on any infrastructure development talks here from today, just because I'll be involved with pretty much most of them.
Well, from what I can tell, you're doing a really good job, so lot going on. But yeah, we want to work with you on this. Good, thanks for being here.
Welcome to Wrangell. Well, welcome back to Wrangell, I guess I should say. Carol Rushmore, I'm the Economic Development Director for another 2 months, at which point Kate will assume my position because I'm retiring to be footloose and fancy free. But my last 2 months, I am very involved in all this federal funding that's coming through, the RAISE, the PIDP. So much of our heavy infrastructure-related projects or our high-cost-related projects are port-related.
Yeah.
And so thank you for the letter of support that you're offering, providing to us
on the
RAISE.
On the RAISE.
Yeah, thank you very much for
absolutely.
That. But one of my comments has is it's very challenging for us when we're trying to meet the NOFO requirements that we go through, being a very small community and being port dependent, port related. All the requirements are so focused on roads and the transportation of the road system down the lower 48.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard for us to compete on this national level.
Yeah.
So I'm not asking to have anything change, just make sure that you're aware of this issue because it is challenging for Alaska communities to compete nationwide.
Well, look, in our discussions today, you know, and you'd be surprised, and it's not a guarantee, but we're really appreciative that you guys reached out to us on what you're doing, because what I do, so I do this in, you know, as many communities as possible, a lot. And we always say, hey, look, when you're applying for a grant, make sure you tell us, and we will write letters in support. Usually it's the whole delegation, right? Does that guarantee you're gonna get it? No, but it doesn't hurt. Does not hurt, because why? Because we fund those agencies, right? And if they stiff Alaska too much, then you know, we have our ways of saying, all right, you want to stiff my state? Then I'm going to stiff your agency. And then we can also make calls, which we do, to senior people saying, hey, give a hard look at this community. And here's, so we will track this and follow up. It won't just be a letter. So we advocate strongly when we know. Sometimes communities don't let us know. And we're like, I didn't even know you applied for a grant. Like, how come you didn't write our office? So the fact that you guys are doing that and it's helpful, and the fact that we are on the ground here and can really talk about it. It's not, again, not a guarantee. There's a lot of disappointed, but we've, as a state, we've done pretty well on some pretty big raise grants recently, and some really big port harbor expansions recently throughout the state. So we'll be bird dogging this one closely.
And we'll let you know about the MVP.
Good. And the, but the points that you guys made just about how this seems really road kind of, that's a good one for us to put in the letter too. So if we haven't sent it yet, Chad, maybe we should revise it. Yeah, but if you guys can kind of, that's a good point, that it seems too tilted in the favor of lower 48 communities that connect to everywhere. Yeah, thanks.
Tom Rankin, police chief.
Chief, thanks for being here.
Yes.
Big fan. I went out with the Anchorage PD about 3 weeks ago, just a ride along for half a day in the evening, and it was pretty interesting, I'll tell you. But I'm a big fan of our law enforcement, so thanks for what you're doing. Let us know if you need anything. Great.
Welcome, Senator. My name's Bob Dalrymple, and I'm on the Assembly, and I'm also chair of the Economic Development Committee.
Great.
So I'm very happy to hear about the economic focus that you have. And while I'm speaking to you, I'd like to take a shameless opportunity, I guess, to promote the MV Chugach, which is the historic boat right out the window there underneath the tarps. And the borough and the Forest Service have been trying to, well, they've been in a long-term partnership to get that displayed and preserved and allow the public to enjoy it, I guess.
As like a, what's a
97-year-old wood boat built in 1925, and it's been used by the Forest Service that whole time. So it represents basically 97 years of history of America and the United States.
Does the Forest Service have money to do that?
That's where I'm headed.
That's where I'm headed.
We have some matching funds.
Do you? Okay.
Frosting on it, it supported World War II efforts along the coast, and it was painted in battleship gray. But again, it has an incredible story to tell.
Cool.
And that's where we're at. It's there where it will be in the museum, and now we're working on getting funding to put a cover over it in the displays. And I don't know if you could. I'm hoping Cindy Crary here at the museum can provide you with a PowerPoint on the display of it.
I didn't know anything about this.
Yeah.
That's very helpful.
It's going to be a wonderful attraction. And again, we're looking for draws to tourism.
Yeah.
Hope to get that going.
We can go out and look at it.
We'd love to hear about it, and if there's any funding opportunities, or is the Forest Service seriously looking at trying to help fund this, or?
We have some funding available, and we're working with the city on an easement so that funding can be used to, and we can together maybe come up with enough money to cover it and get a ramp so that people can get up and look inside.
Right. What's the total dollar amount you guys think?
Better ask our partners. I'm not allowed to. Do you guys know the total amount?
For what?
For the Chugach, for the ramp and the.
I don't know that it's been engineered out yet.
Okay.
I think it's just conceptual right now.
Okay. Good. Great. Thank you. Good.
Esther. Hello again. Hi. Esther Reese, Tribal Administrator for the Wrangell Cooperative Association and Vice President of Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission. I always worry when I try to say that all. Get it all out. I have to apologize to everyone here. We're the reason the senator is late, because we had a wonderful meeting with him before this. Got to talk about transboundary mining, the issues with salmon, green crab, and Metlakatla, the veterans allotment, and landless. So really appreciate you being here, being willing and open to hear those voices of our tribal citizens that in some ways may have been frustrated, and appreciate all that you're doing for them in that specific veterans allotment issue.
Thank you, that was a great meeting. And you guys probably know that Alaska has more veterans per capita than any state in the country. So that's a real proud element of our heritage. And Alaska Natives serve at higher rates in the military than any other ethnic group in the country, which is also really special. Special patriotism, I call that. So there was a number of veterans, Vietnam veterans, in the meeting. I was with Esther, and very powerful, moving. And, you know, I think we still need to be remember that those guys didn't get treated very well when they came home, and it's still kind of a shame on our country, in my view. So trying to fix some things that some of these guys went through. So thank you.
I'm on the assembly and also on the Economic Development Board. And Bob always steals my thunder when he gets a chance. I was going to mention the Chugach Ranger boat and the funding for that. But obviously, everything that's been discussed here so far, I'm concerned about. Being on the assembly, it all comes before us, and it all comes before us for a decision or support or whatever. So I just very much appreciate you coming to talk to us. It's always good to have somebody from the big city show up.
Right. Well, our view is we work for you guys, right? So that's why we're here. And again, you don't need to have us here physically. You have Chad, and Sherry does a great job. I know a lot of you guys know Sherry. So we're here to work on these issues and help. So thanks, Ann. Anyone else?
I'm a high school CTE teacher, commercial fisherman, and vice chair of our port commission. I'm here with Mr. Morrison to advocate for ports and harbors. Sounds like you got a tour of them, and you know, we've got some great facilities, several recently upgraded, but we've also got some that are very aged and dated and hazardous. So we'd like to continue to attract commercial fishermen, which I see as a portable occupation. That somebody can, a permit holder can come from anywhere and call Wrangell their home port. We'd like to continue to attract folks like that. A lot of yachties coming through. We're in dire need of some upgrades to some of those facilities.
Well, I saw you're right. Some of the Heritage Harbor is beautiful, and the new memorial, because we went out there and... What's that?
Newer one?
Shoemaker and, yeah. And but we were at the
memorial as well,
the Mariners memorial. Yeah. Beautiful, really exceptional. Thank you.
I'm Jen Mudley. Sorry, I'm late. I'm retired and my clocks are all wrong. But issues I was going to say is transportation is a big thing. Like, we need that subsidy for Alaska Airlines. I don't know when that comes through. And I know you put a lot of money went to the ferries. And I'm concerned about that. I heard that they might be looking at putting queen beds in the berths, you know, instead of increasing, you know, transportation from Wrangell to Ketchikan. They're going to make it more, tourist related. So anyway, transportation is a big thing. Medical costs, astronomical in the state. Like, I have to pay for my own insurance, my own health care, travel, hotels when you go. And I was kind of thinking, you know, it's like, what's the solution? And I thought, maybe there's grant programs. We used to have housing, like Ketchikan had, I don't know if it was the Mary Frances building that you could rent, you know, for $100 instead of $250 a night. But those are a couple of big things. Another one I was going to mention is the Wrangell landless. Like, I I looked at that at the tail end of it, and having worked for the Forest Service for 30 years in Southeast, I'm familiar with quite a few of the parcels, and I don't support all of them. Like, and so I don't know how that thing got as far as it did, but I guess I would like to see that start over with more input and make it successful. Like, I don't think what was proposed could get through, but those were just a couple of things that I thought should be on your radar.
Well, I'll just, so I have not heard anything about the ferry system dollars going for tourism. I mean, but it's good. That's why I do these, you know, that's why it's important.
The ferry worker was the one that mentioned that that's being thrown out. So it's not, the decision hasn't been made, but it's kind of like, I don't know if we call, who we even call to say we need, you know, more boats running, not boats.
Well, like I said, I think the section in the infrastructure bill that deals with ferries, and I give Senator Murkowski a lot of credit for that. That's pretty significant funding, and it provides a lot of flexibility. Even, you know, it used to be just for maintenance, we would get federal dollars. This goes to operations too. That's different, that's more expansive. But the clear intent that she and I had on this was to make it more accessible for communities in Southeast, not for like tourism or queen beds. And, you know, it's to deliver people who are Alaskans from community to community here. That's like the obvious intent.
I guess another thing I would say is when it comes to Prince Rupert, boats going to Prince Rupert, we had maybe three in the last three years probably. But I think that's probably a federal hang up, isn't it? How we work with Canada on that port.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't, on the Prince Rupert.
The Prince Rupert Ferry Terminal is an important connection for us for driving down.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been functional for the last 3 years, for whatever reason. And right now, the only operating ship, the Columbia, can't go there, so we don't have it.
Chad, you know what, is it the COVID? I mean, as you guys know, Canada was very, very restrictive.
I think it was the construction of the dock, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Using American steel?
Well, we got that waiver for the Buy American.
Yeah, it's
not the key, USA. Right. We can get back to you on that, because we were working on a waiver for the Buy American issue that you just were talking about, and let us get back to you on that issue. So, well, listen, any other questions or thoughts, yes, sir, or comments or anything? Thanks for everybody going around the room, and sorry it took so long, but I like doing this, and I appreciate everybody showing up. And I also know that this morning there was a tragedy here, and my understanding is, I'm sure that impacted a lot of you, and I'm really sorry to hear that. It's kind of a horrible thing. So our condolences to everybody, you know, just dealing with something really sad like that. So, sorry.
Yeah, their concern is the trawlers. I mean, they are allowed so much bycatch. A lot of that, it dies off and it gets shoved overboard, and it's affecting all the fisheries, and they're tearing up the bottom, destroying ocean bottom habitat. But yet they've got enough lobbyists that they're getting away with it, no restriction.
So I'll tell you, I just had a bill of mine that passed, signed into law. It was called the Alaska Salmon Research Task Force bill. It sounds kind of boring, but I think it's really important. And I was mentioning it with Esther and her WCA folks today. The point of this bill, now it's a law, is to say we need to bring the best scientific minds, state, federal, university, tribal, traditional knowledge as well, on what is happening to the salmon runs in Alaska. So as you know, the king runs are crashing, historic crashes in southeast, on the Kuskokwim, on the Yukon. You know, my wife's Athabascan, her family's had a fish camp on the Yukon for, she likes to remind me, 10,000 years. Her mother's from Rampart, the village, kind of middle river Yukon. We haven't been able to fish that fish camp in 4 years, I think it's been close, because the king runs on the Yukon have crashed. So this bill says, all right, no politics, no putting our thumbs on the scale. What is happening? What is happening? Why is this happening? There's many theories. Bycatch is one. For the biologists here, you know, the little salmon fry that are going back out to the ocean in big numbers, there's a lot of research that's showing that they are not surviving like their first 3 or 4 months. And is that predation? Is that ocean acidification? There's IUU fishing, you know, that the Chinese are and the Russians are abusing the heck out of the high seas. So this bill is meant to say, why is this happening? And at the same time, you know, you're seeing these crashes, but you're also seeing these epic salmon runs in Alaska as well. The sockeye salmon run in Bristol Bay every year breaks a record. I think it was north of 70 million fish that came in last year. One part of Alaska. Wow. How did that happen? Why did that happen? So this bill's been passed, starting to be implemented. And there's another element to it. There's a funding gap on salmon for research. And the reason there's a funding gap is the state manages the harvest of salmon in Alaska, including in the ocean. And the feds manage the harvest of pollock and cod and, okay. So the councils, right, the North Pacific Fisheries Council, they research the fish that they harvest. They do that work. The state researches the fish that they harvest, but they don't research the salmon out in the big ocean because they're the state and the feds are dealing with the big ocean. But the salmon live out in the big ocean for most of their life. So there's a gap there, actually, on who's doing the research on what's happening to the salmon out in the ocean. So this bill says, hey, we have this gap, we need to close the gap. So what we're trying to do is get to the science-based, database, what is causing these crashes. Is it bycatch? I don't know, the bycatch numbers in the early 2000s were way higher than they are now. But I don't know the answer. I just want the best scientific minds to give us the answers. So that's why I introduced that bill. It's got broad-based stakeholder support in Alaska among the different fishing interests, which for the commercial fishermen know, that's almost impossible to do, right? Like different stakeholder groups don't. So right now, that's what we're trying to figure out. And then if there's, you know, hopefully a good explanation, then we can address it. Because nobody wants what you're talking about, which is the iconic fish of Alaska, in my view, the king salmon, which is, you know, cratering right now, pretty much all over the state in terms of its numbers. Any other questions or comments or thoughts or criticisms or anything? Oh. Except for the media, I'm not going to ask them. They don't get to ask any more questions. No, I'm kidding.
It's kind of a softball.
Oh, right.
Basically, what I'm wondering is, in all of your meetings with Wrangell government, tribal government, people here in Wrangell today, what are you coming away with, whether that's re-emphasis of issues that you've already been working on, or whether that's new things that you want to focus on in your representation of the people of Wrangell?
Good question. Look, I think the earlier statements about we all have challenges, but every community does, but there's a lot of opportunities in, you know, this part of our state. And I like, as your senator, trying to help people address the challenges, but then, you know, really seize the opportunities. Because that's how you keep young people here. That's how you keep your economy growing. That's how you create a vibe that is positive and exciting. And, you know, I see that here. And I think that's great. And not every community has that. I won't name names, but. And then building on, you know, we had a good tour this morning, and we were out at the mill site. Could you envision putting like a Coast Guard cutter there? Yeah, or a Navy ship there? That's the kind of thing I like to think about, and because I've been trying to, hopefully you've seen that, I've been pressing the Coast Guard, more ships to Alaska, more ships, Air Force, more airplanes, Army, more units, and it's happening. We've had a massive buildup of our military throughout the state, billions of dollars. And, you know, we got 2,000 airmen and two squadrons of F-35s now at Eielson Air Force Base in the interior of Alaska. That's a massive economic boon to interior Alaska. Huge. 2,000 airmen and their families, billions in construction for the hangars for the 54 F-35s. So is that something we can get going in this part of the state? Absolutely, that's my view. It takes time, but now you have the property to do it. I think it's exciting. Fits with my vision, which is good.
Senator, also on the podium, we were out at the mill site. That's the last undeveloped deep water port in Southeast Alaska. It hasn't been developed yet.
Yeah.
And so there's no place else that they could go if it didn't come to Wrangell.
Well, I was asking about depth, and it sounded like it was 1,000 feet or something, right? Like very deep. Yeah, no, it's exciting. And so, and to get eyes on too, it's different when you just read about it or get briefed by someone when they're visiting in DC, and to get eyes on, and a day like today, which is pretty spectacular, so.
It's like this all the time.
Well, thanks everybody, appreciate it. And Chad and Sherry are gonna leave their info. And if you have issues or other ideas, let us know. Okay, thanks very much for coming out. Thank you.